Good morning, everyone. Today we will be continuing what we began last week, the discussion of Bechira Chafshis. Last week we ended off in the middle of the Rambam. We got up to Halacha Beis, which you could find on page 10 of your packet. Again, Hilchos Tshuva, Perakei Halacha Beis. The Rambam begins by refuting all of the various possibilities or the various opinions who reject free will. If you look carefully, he's essentially rejecting four different grounds for denying free will. Astrological fatalism, essentially the notion that the mazalos determine everything. Kalam, which is a medieval school of Islamic philosophy and theology, which rejected free will based on divine providence. Essentially, they took an overarching view of providence, and if everything happens because of God's direction, then there's no room for an individual to freely choose. He rejects psychological determinism over here, the notion that based on my own psychology, I have to choose one thing or another. And finally, he rejects the notion, and this is what we're going to focus on today, that because of divine foreknowledge, there can be no possibility of free will. So we'll begin reading inside with Halacha Beis. Al yavor b'machshavtecha davar zeh she'omim tipshei umos ha'olam v'rov golmei b'nei Yisrael. So you see that this was a prevalent view in his time. She'HaKadosh Baruch Hu gozer al ha'adam mitchilas b'yaso lios tzadik or rasha, that God determines from a person's birth whether or not he's going to be a tzadik or rasha. Eina davar kein, ela kol adam ra'ui lo, top of page 11, lios tzadik kemoshe rabbeinu, o rasha ki rabam, o chacham, o sachal, o rachman, o achzari, o kili, o shav, v'chein shar kol hadeo. So a person has free will. Last week we talked about the idea that even though the Rambam here writes that everybody could be as great as Moshe, as wicked as Yeravam, that everything seems to be in a person's hands, that doesn't mean to say that the Rambam doesn't acknowledge the notion that certain people have particular predilections. One person, for example, might be born with a better memory. That means if he takes advantage of that gift, he will have an easier time remembering things. Likewise, in Hilchos Deos, the Rambam writes about the very powerful effect that an environment has upon a person, that a person is influenced by their environment, so much so that the Rambam writes that if one is in a bad environment and they can't get away from it, it's better to move into a desert than be affected by your environment. And what the Rambam there says is that sometimes the influence, the powerful influence of the environment is so strong that if one chooses to stay, they'll almost inevitably be influenced by their environment. So they could express their freedom by choosing to leave, though perhaps not to the same extent by deciding to stay, but not be pressured by that influence. So while the Rambam here very strongly defends free will and very strongly defends the notion that everybody can choose to become great, nevertheless, he at the same time acknowledges the powerful influence of both nature and nurture. Vein mi, vein lo mi, top of left column, sheyakfehu, velo gozer alav, velo mi shemoshcho, le'echad mishnei adrachim, elahu me'atzmo midato noteh, le'ezu deri yirtze. Any person could choose their path. Hu shirmiyo amar, mi piel yon lo teitze ara'os va'atovos. God does not determine whether a person is going to be good or bad. Kilomar. Eina bore gozer al adam, lios tov velo lios ra. V'kevin shekein, hu nimtza ze'achote, hu hifsid es atzmo. So therefore, if you sin, it's your fault. V'lefikach roi lo livnos, livkos ulekonein, al chata'av, v'al ma she'asal, v'nafsho, v'gam la ra'a. That is why these halachos are in Hilchos Tshuva. A person has to do tshuva precisely because they freely chose their path, and moreover, tshuva itself is another act of free will. Hu shekasav acharav, ma'is onen adam chai. The pasuk, after declaring that all human beings have free will, that mipi elyon lo teitze haraos v'atovos, the next pasuk teaches me, therefore a person must do tshuva. The chazer v'amar hol v'rishuso, v'rishusenu bi'adenu mida'atenu, asinu kol haraos, roi lanu lachzer b'tshuva, v'lazov rishanu, sharishus ata bi'adenu, hu shekasav acharav, nach besad rachenu v'nach kora v'nashuva ilacha. V'davar ze ikar gadol, v'u amud ha-torah v'ha-mitzvah. This notion of free will is the root of all Torah and mitzvos. Why? Because, of course, there is no room for Torah. What if it was predetermined what we would do beforehand, then it would just be a game. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding us to do mitzvos and not to do averos? After all, we don't actually freely have the choice whether or not to listen. Shenemar, Re'ei nasati lefanecha hayom es hachayim, v'ksiv re'ei anochi nosein lefneichem hayom. Kelomar, sharishus biyadchem, v'chol sheyachpotz ha'adam lasos mimaseh b'nei adam oseh, bein tovim, bein ra'im. U'mipnei zeh ha'inyan ne'emar, mi yitein v'haya levavam zeh lahem. Kelomar, she'ein abori kofi b'nei adam, v'lo gozer aleihem lasos tova ora, ela kol masur lahem. So the Rambam says this is an ikar gadol. It is, in fact, the basis of all Torah and mitzvos. And he continues, Ilu akel haya gozer al adam liyos sadik o rasha, o ilu haya sham davar shemoshich es adam b'ikur toldoso l'derech min adrachim, o l'madam min amados, o l'deya min adeos, o l'maisim min amaisim, kemo shebodim milibam tipshei hovrei shamayim, heyach haya mitzvah v'lanu, al yidei neviyim, asei kach v'kach, v'al ta'ase kach, hitivu drachechem, and so on and so forth. The whole Torah, the Nevi'im, would be meaningless. The Rambam continues and says that Schar Va'onesh would be unfair. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would punish us or reward us for choosing good or bad if, after all, we had no choice but to commit those evils or good deeds? Then in Halacha Hey, which is on the top of page 12, the Rambam raises the very, very famous question. This is a question that I know that many people today continue to struggle with, and that is the issue of foreknowledge. Shema Tomar, V'halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodea kol ma sheyia, V'kodem sheyia yada shezeh yetzadik o rasha o lo yada. Im yada shehu yetzadik, yafshe shelo yetzadik. Vim tomar sheyada sheyetzadik, v'afshe sheyarasha, harei lo yadada varalburyo. The problem is simple. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows in advance whether or not I'm going to be a tzaddik or a rasha, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that I'm going to be a tzaddik, then I have no choice but to be a tzaddik. I couldn't be a rasha. How could I choose evil if God knows that I'm going to choose good? Elamai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know. But the Rambam says that's also inconceivable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. There's nothing he doesn't know. He's omniscient. So therefore, what room is there for free will? Either he doesn't know, if I have the ability to choose to be a tzaddik, even though he knows I'm going to be a rasha, or I don't actually have freedom. Says the Rambam, Da, she'tshuvas she'ela zu arucha me'eretz mido rechava mineyam, v'kam ikarim gedolim v'hararim ramim teluyim ba. Aval tzarech ata leida ulavin, b'davar zeh shani omer. Kvar bi'arnu b'perk sheini mehilchos yisodei ha-Torah, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino yodeya, mideya shehi chutz mimenu, kivnei adam shehem v'da'atam shnayim, elahu yis'ale shmo u'da'ato echad. Says the Rambam, to answer this question you must realize that divine knowledge is different than human knowledge. Human knowledge is external to us. For example, I exist, and there is the knowledge that I know. It's not inherently tied to me. For example, I didn't know it beforehand. Before yesterday, I learned something I didn't know beforehand. So before I didn't know it, probably by tomorrow, I'll forget it. Clearly, it's not part of me. It's external to me. My knowledge is something separate from me. Whereas, when it comes to divine knowledge, there is nothing separate from God. That's because if that were the case, that would imply plurality within the Ribono Shel Olam. It would be a contradiction to Achdus Hashem. Achdus Hashem says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just one in the sense that he's one and not two. There's one God and not two gods. But he's one in the sense that he's simple. He's not comprised of multiple parts. This paper is one. I'm holding one paper in my hand. However, it is a paper that's comprised of multiple parts. I can rip this paper in half. The paper is comprised of molecules, and the molecules could further be divided into atoms and cells and neutrons, electrons, protons, etc. So while it's one in the sense that it's not two, it's not one in the sense that it's simple, it's divisible, it's comprised of parts. Achdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one in the sense that he's not comprised of parts. Now, his knowledge to be separate from him, like our knowledge is separate from our essence, so that would imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comprised of parts. There is God and God's knowledge. And that's inconceivable. So that's the first point the Rambam says, that human knowledge and divine knowledge are different. Moreover, HaKadosh Baruch Hu... Now, here we have a very important question. And the question is as follows. Why is it, how do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future? It's very interesting, as we're going to read on in the Rambam in a moment. The Rambam takes great lengths to prove that we have free will. But he more or less asserts, without proving, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future. And the question is why? How do we know? Is there a pasuk that explicitly states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future? As far as I know, there isn't. One raya I have, not that I'm a bucky in Tanakh, is because nobody quotes a pasuk. There are psukim that could be interpreted as implying God's knowledge of the future. Some understand that the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Hayahovah V'yeh implies he knows the future. But it's not so simple. It's not clear, and that's why we're going to see that there are those who deny divine foreknowledge. But why is it that the Rambam assumes that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future? The Rambam understands that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not know the future, that would imply change. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unchanging. Meaning to say, if right now he doesn't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, but tomorrow he knows what I do tomorrow, so that means he's changed. He has acquired knowledge which he didn't have beforehand. And at least from a philosophical perspective, that's very problematic to assert or to consider the possibility that God changes. Now let's see some of these ideas inside, and then we're going to consider the implications of his position. So if you look at footnote 40 on page 12, we have here a paragraph from Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perek Beis, where he explains this notion that we've said, the idea that God's knowledge is not external to him, but part of him. I'm going to read from the bolded text in Perek Beis Halacha Tes. It's on page 12, footnote 40, the right column. Ulefi shehu yodea atzmo, umakir gdulaso v'tifarto, v'amitaso, hu yodea hakol, v'ein davar nelami menu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito, v'yodea osa kimo shehi, v'eino yodea b'dea shehi chutz mimenu, kimo she'anu yodim. This is what we said before. We know things based on that which is external to us. For example, I learn information today. So how do I learn this information? Perhaps I read it in a book. That's something that is external to me. Or perhaps I observed it. Perhaps I did an experiment. Perhaps I saw somebody and came to that realization. The knowledge that I gain is from things that are external to me. There is nothing inherently external to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the source for all existence. And thus, God's knowledge does not emanate from that which is external to him, and thus could not change based on the choices that I make freely. She'en anu v'datenu echad, aval habore yisparach hu v'dato v'chayav echad. We and our knowledge are not one, as we said before. My knowledge is not part of me. I am still me, even if I forget my knowledge. Mash'ein ken HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is echad michol tzad u'michol pina u'v'chol derech yichud. Shilmalei hayachai b'chayim v'yodeya b'deya shechut b'deya chutz mimenu hayusham elohus harbei hu v'chayav v'da'ato. How do I know that God's knowledge is not external to him? Because if it were the case that God's knowledge was external to him, then there would be multiple gods. There would be God and his knowledge and his existence. Ve'en adavar kein, el echad michol tzad u'michol pina u'michol derech yichud. That is what Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, means. Nimtes ata omer, hu hayodea, v'hu hayadua, v'hu hadea atma, hakol echad. V'davar ze ein koach befel le'omro, v'lo be'ozen le'shamo, v'lo be'lev adam l'hakiro al boryo. Here the Rambam says that this notion that we've been trying to explain is something that a human cannot fully understand. We relate to knowledge that's similar to our knowledge, and our knowledge is external to us and derived from external sources. And thus, it's nearly impossible, if not impossible, for us to fully grasp the nature of divine knowledge. Now, with this introduction, let us see another paragraph from the Mor Nevuchim about how the Rambam knows that God knows the future, and then we'll be able to go back to Hilchos Tshuva and hopefully finish the paragraph and understand it a little better. The paragraph I'd like to see with you from the guide is on page 14. The discussion in the guide is from section 3, chapter 20. It begins on page 13. By all means, take a look at it. But I'd just like to focus in on one paragraph, which is the paragraph beginning one of the things. It's bolded and underlined on the right column, the bottom of page 14. One of the things that has become clear to me by the text of the Torah is that his knowledge, may he be exalted, that a certain possible thing will come into existence does not in any way make that possible thing quit the nature of the possible. Here the Rambam answers this question, the question of divine foreknowledge. And he tells us the following. He tells us that just because something is, again, that a certain thing will come into existence, just because God knows something will happen in the future, that doesn't mean that it necessarily must happen. In other words, it's possible that it won't happen, even though he knows it will happen. On the contrary, the nature of the possible remains with it. It seems to me that what he's saying here is the following, that just because something will happen, it doesn't mean it's impossible for it not to happen. To put it in philosophical terminology, we would say that just because something is true doesn't mean that it's necessarily true. For something to be necessarily true, it means it couldn't be otherwise. In all possible worlds, it is the case that 1 and 1 equals 2. 1 and 1 is necessarily 2. I don't know if that's true. In fact, I think it's probably debated among mathematicians. But let's assume for a moment that that's the case. So if it's necessarily true that 1 and 1 is 2, it's impossible that 1 and 1 cannot be 2. However, just because something is true doesn't mean it's necessarily true. It's conceivable that it could be otherwise. Yes?
Is an example of this like what we say by a nevuah barah, that it doesn't necessarily have to be true? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the nevuah that something bad is going to happen, but if it wasn't true, then it won't happen.
Maybe, but that might not be a good example, because there it actually changes. Meaning to say, let me get to that example in a moment. But there, the Pashup Shot is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Nevuah L'Ra, he can actually change. In other words, it was Ra, but if people do Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Ninveh Nepeches in 40 days, but they did Tshuva, so it wasn't destroyed. That was actually a chazara. Presumably God knew in advance what would happen through foreknowledge. So that's not a perfect example. And that's why there's a difference between nevuah l'tov and nevuah l'ra. But we're going to... Once something enters into the realm of prophecy, it's a totally different story. And we're going to get to that shortly. Let's read the Rambam a little more. On the contrary, the nature of the possible remains within it, and knowledge concerning what possible things would be produced does not entail one of the two possibilities becoming necessary. In other words, knowledge, knowing something is true, is not necessarily true. The whole religious legislation, the commandments, and the prohibitions go back to this principle, namely, that is, knowledge concerning what will happen does not make this possible thing quit its nature. Meaning to say, he knows it will happen, but it still remains within the realm of possible. Otherwise, it would not have been said, and you shall make a fence for yourself. The mitzvah of Makkah, that you have to make a fence on the roof. Or, lest he die in battle, and another man will marry her. So what is the idea of the mitzvah of Makkah? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, if it was already determined, I'm sorry, that this person would fall, or would not fall, then there's no need to make the Makkah. The Makkah doesn't change anything. It would be a pointless mitzvah. Because if he's not going to fall, then there's no need for a Makkah. And if he is going to fall, the Makkah will not help. The fact that the laws were given to man, both affirmative and negative, supports this principle, that God's knowledge of the future and possible events does not change their character. The great doubt that presents itself in our mind is the result of the insufficiency of our intellect. Meaning to say the following. It's true. If I think about it, it doesn't really make sense to me that something could... I could know something in advance, but it could still turn out one way or the other. That doesn't make sense, but the Rambam says that's a result of the limited nature of our intellect. Now, there are a couple of points to be made. So let's review what the Rambam has said, and then we'll consider the possible interpretations. The Rambam has told us several things. Number one, he says, that we can't really fully understand this, because we are limited in our nature. It is very difficult for human beings to understand things that are totally outside of their realm of understanding. And essentially, the solution to this answer lies in the notion that there is a distinction between human knowledge and divine knowledge, whether it's internal or external. And thus, we're not fully going to be able to understand this. Point one. Point two, as we said, is that the solution lies in understanding the distinction between human knowledge, which is external to us, and divine knowledge, which is inherent and internal. Number three, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, because if he didn't know the future, that would imply change. Number four, just because God knows what's going to happen doesn't take it outside of the realm of possibilities. Now, how has he really answered the question? So there's actually quite a lot of debate about this answer. There are those who argue that the Rambam's answer is essentially the same answer as Aquinas. Aquinas lived after the Rambam. Aquinas was born in 1125. The Rambam died in 1225. The Rambam died in 1204. But essentially, Aquinas gives the famous analogy of people walking around the paths of a mountain. And this is, if you want to read it, it's in note 48 on page 14, where the person standing on the top of the mountain can see what's happening, where someone's ahead or behind or the like, whereas when you're on the bottom of the mountain walking around, you can't. And likewise, God's knowledge of the past, present, and future events occurs simultaneously. It's only from our perspective that it's in the past or the future, but not from God's. That's essentially one view. If you look here, there's an article by Frank and Lehman contemporary philosophers who argue this is what the Rambam's arguing. Along similar lines, Rav Shelat, if you want to read, has an essay on this. This is on page 321 in his Hakdamos of the Rambam. In the back of Shmona Prakim, Rav Shelat writes a number of essays on topics discussed in Shmona Prakim, and he has a chapter or two on this topic, and he argues that essentially the Rambam's answer is the same as an answer we're going to discuss shortly, that God exists outside of time, and the contradiction between free will and foreknowledge only exists within time. God is the creator of time, exists outside of time. Time is not an absolute reality, but a creation. It's relative, and thus does not limit God. It's only if you're limited by time that knowing the future precludes the possibility of freedom, but not within an existence outside of time. That's how Rav Shelat understands the Rambam. I'm not sure that's the simplest reading of the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't quite say that explicitly, especially as we saw in the Mishneh Torah, where his focus is the difference between divine knowledge and human knowledge. However, what needs to be stressed, whichever approach you take in the Rambam, is that the Rambam understands that ultimately there is not a contradiction. Both divine foreknowledge is true, and free will is true, and these things don't contradict each other. They both exist simultaneously. It's difficult for us to understand that, but there is not a contradiction. Now, this is going to contrast with the approaches that we're going to see shortly, who consider the possibility that indeed there is a true contradiction between foreknowledge and free will, and therefore consider the possibilities of either limiting foreknowledge or limiting free will, and we'll get to those after I take the questions. Yes, Sam?
Suggest that he knows the possible outcomes?
The possibilities, but not the actual event? That would be a limitation of foreknowledge.
Now,
he knew it was potential. I don't understand what you're saying. What was it? Did he know that I would choose possibility A?
He knows.
So he didn't know that I was going to choose possibility A.
But he.
So that's a different answer. That is a limitation on foreknowledge. You could say that. But if you say what you're suggesting, and that's certainly a possible answer, it's the answer that the Shlag gives, it's more or less the answer that the Ravid gives, Rashi, according to the Rashash, gives that answer, Ralbag certainly accepts that, that's a limitation of foreknowledge. What you're suggesting is that God knows, he has foreknowledge in the sense that he knows my options, but he doesn't have foreknowledge in the sense that he knows my conclusion. I don't think the Rambam is saying that, because the Rambam clearly and unambiguously states that there is true foreknowledge, and he states that if God does not know what choice I'm going to choose, and later on I choose that, that would imply a change, because at one point, at point A, he didn't know it, and then at point B, he did know it. So I don't think that is an answer that's given, but that's not what the Rambam is saying. Yes?
Well, two things. Number one, the Rambam seems to give up. He doesn't really... He says that he just goes and describes how awesome Hashem's knowledge is, and the reason why we can't have a real sufficient answer to this is because our knowledge is nothing compared to his, and his is so different from ours. So he doesn't really answer the question. He just says that there is no answer to the question that we can understand. And two, his Maka proof goes against what we were taught in grade school, that, like, if you ask the real, why can I punch this kid if it was already going to be punched?
Mm-hmm.
And I beat him up. So there is, yeah, but it doesn't have to, it never had to be you.
Okay, the Rambam gives
so
that answer in Perek Vav. We'll get there. You have to see Perek Vav to understand, because that's how the Rambam explains why the Egyptians were punished, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already said, Yado Ateida. We'll get there. That's
it was a necessary mitzvah, because...
I understand. We'll get there. Patience. Your first point is essentially correct, though. I wouldn't use the term gives up, but the Rambam says that that this is something that most people, at the very least, cannot fully understand. Now, I want to. I know there are a lot of questions. I'm gonna go on a little bit because I want to see the contrasts of the Rambam, but hopefully we'll have some time for more questions afterwards. Okay. What other possible answers are there? So if you turn to page 15, you'll see the Rivash in Tshuva Simen Kuf Yud Ches deals with this answer. The Rivash is essentially coming to refute the position of Ralbag, which we'll see shortly, which limits foreknowledge. And the Rivash answers, this may be what the Rambam refers to in Mor Nevuchim, it may not be, but the Rivash answers that Ve'en Yediyazu Muchrachas Klau Ki Acharei Hunach She'Adam Yesh Lo Bechira V'Haya Efshar Lo La'Sos HaHepech Hineik She'Yeda Hashem Shehu Ya'aseh Po'al Ploni Yeda She'Yaseh Zeh Bevchira So V'Shehaya Efshar Lo La'Sos HaFcho. God knows that I could have chosen both. He knows what I'm going to choose, but he knows the knowledge that in the future I'm going to freely choose X or Y, and thus both free will and foreknowledge are maintained. Essentially, the Rivash here makes the distinction that we alluded to earlier, that we have to distinguish between something that is true and something that is necessarily true. The Rivash is saying that God's knowledge of the future isn't necessary knowledge, and thus it's possible for me to still choose both options, even though he knows the option that I'm going to choose. Now, this is an answer that is very hard to get your mind around. If anyone has taken Dr. Johnson in college, so you probably would have seen his refutation to the contradiction between divine foreknowledge and free will, which is essentially using logic to show there's not actually a contradiction. If you took his class, he'll show that the contradiction is making the error, the slipped modal operator, assuming something that's necessarily true is actually something that's true is necessarily true. And again, time doesn't allow us to show his argument. Also, Noah Gardenschwartz, I'm sure most of you guys know him, so he has an excellent essay on this topic where he develops quite, I think, powerfully, though I'm not sure I understood every step. But to the extent that I understood it, it seemed to make a lot of sense. You could speak to him. That it's simply a logical fallacy to assume that there is a contradiction. The next answer that we're going to consider, probably the most standard answer given in the last 500 years, is an answer that I found first expressed explicitly in the Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos, Gimel Chaf Aleph. It's on page 15 in the source books. The Medrash Shmuel is Reb Shmuel ben Yitzchak Ozida. He was born in 1540. And he writes that Ki hu yisparach eino tachas hazman, like we said before, or as the Tosfos Yantif puts it below, She yediyas Hashem yisparach Ki kitzofel ma'bit asiya she'osah ha'adam, v'harei ein riyas ha'adam l'maisez ulaso, ma'achreches ha'asiya hi, kach tzviyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzviyas HaShem Yisparach ma'aseh ha'adam eino ma'achrich ha'aso, v'ein shayach lomar she'yodea ma'a she'asid la'asos ha'adam, im kein mochrach ha'adam la'asos, ki lefanav Yisparach ein kedima v'ichur she'eino b'chei kazman. The idea that it's a contradiction to say that if I know something in the future, it couldn't be otherwise. That's using terms like now and future. Now and future only exist within time. If you exist outside of time, then those terms are meaningless. Not everybody accepts this answer. The Or Sameach has a long piece on Hilchos Tshuva on this topic, and he rejects the answer, or at least he says that it's not something that really makes sense to us. If God knows beforehand whether this morning I'm going to daven Shmona Esrei with Kavana, if he knows I'm going to, how could I not? And if he knows that I'm not, how can I? you could read it. It's on page 16 primarily. Another answer to this question could be found in the Maharal's Gvuras Hashem in the second Hakdama. It's over here. The Or HaSameach argues against this as well. He essentially argues that the Rambam is correct in saying that this isn't something we could possibly understand. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist within time. The contradiction only exists within time. The first that I found to say, some say that's what the Rambam says, but the first to say it explicitly that I found is the Medrash Moral. Okay. The next answer that we're going to consider is given by Rav Chasdai Kreskes. He lived from 1340 to 1410, 1411. He was a philosopher. He was a Talmud, among others, of the Ran. And he essentially says that there is a contradiction. The Rambam is wrong. Foreknowledge and free will are indeed incompatible. And thus, we have no choice but to limit one of them. Which one are we going to limit? So, Rav Chasdai Kreskes says we're going to limit free will. Now, if so, you have a major question. How do you deal with mitzvos? The Rambam says that the whole idea of Torah and mitzvos is predicated on the notion that we could freely choose one or the other. We're not going to focus too much on his answer. It's difficult to understand. You could see it on paragraph 2.1 in 18. In paragraph 2.2 on page 18, he deals with the issue of why there would be schar va'onesh if there's no free will. This answer has largely been rejected because the Pashtus is like the Rambam, that all of Torah and mitzvos are indeed based on free will. There are many psukim that imply free will. Later today, we're going to see that there are answers given by later authors who take a non-philosophical approach but come to a conclusion which limits freedom. The Ishbitzer is most famous. We're going to see that in Reb Tzaddok as well. The Ezras Hashem will get to that possibility shortly. The other possibility, and this is far more of a common answer, it's still not a mainstream answer, but there are many, many great thinkers who take this approach, and they say, yes, there is a contradiction, and they resolve the contradiction by limiting foreknowledge. Now, this is a much more palatable approach than the approach taken by Kreskes. Why? Because, as I mentioned before, where does it say that God knows the future? It's obvious that God could know the future if he wishes to control the future. For example, God is the one that gave us free will. That, Kabbalistically expressed, implies a limitation of himself. He gave us the possibility of free will. Should he choose to take our free will away, he would know the future. But because he gave us that freedom, the freedom to choose X or Y, then indeed he doesn't know it. Now you'll say, one second, how could we say God doesn't know the future? Isn't God omniscient? Doesn't God know everything? The answer to that question is as follows. If we assume that it is indeed impossible, it is a contradiction, it is impossible to know the future and maintain free will at the same time, then it is not problematic because it doesn't imply a deficiency on the part of God. Let me give you an example, a mashal, and we'll return to this a little later on in the year. We say God is kol yachol, omnipotent. He could do everything. Can God destroy himself? No, of course not. His existence is necessary, meaning to say couldn't be otherwise. Does that contradict omnipotence? No. Omnipotence means God could do anything that is theoretically possible. Something which is impossible, if we say that God can't do it, that doesn't imply deficiency, and thus it is not problematic. We'll talk more about this later. This idea is not just stated by philosophers like the Rambam, but the Rashba is a tshuva where he says this as well. And I would like to expand upon this, but not now. However, that being the case, we could say as follows. If it is true that it is impossible to know the future if there is freedom, then to say that God doesn't know the future doesn't imply a deficiency. Because all we're saying is that he can't do something which is theoretically impossible. It's like saying God can't destroy himself or he can't multiply himself. That doesn't imply deficiency because it's impossible. God necessarily exists, so he can't destroy himself. He is one, and therefore he can't multiply himself. He doesn't know the future because you can't know the future. At least if there's freedom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by giving us freedom, thereby limits the possibility of his knowing the future, but that does not imply deficiency, and therefore it's not problematic. As we said before, it doesn't state anywhere explicitly and unequivocally that God knows future choices that are going to be taken freely. If God wishes to know the future, he certainly has within him the power to limit our freedom and know the future. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu that Paro is not going to let the Jewish people go, but he's able to do that because he says, I'm going to harden Paro's heart. If he left Paro to his freedom, perhaps he could not know that. So who says this? And I know there are some questions, but let's read it inside. So we'll start with the Ravid. Then we'll see others. The most famous to say this was the Ralbag. However, generally speaking, it's presented as follows. The Ralbag has this extreme position limiting foreknowledge, and it's a Das Yachid, it's a Shita Dechuya. Kreskes has this extreme ability limiting freedom, that's a Shita Dechuya, it's a Das Yachid. And everybody accepts the middle approach. But it's not really everybody. We'll start with the Ravid. The Ravid is somewhat unclear. It's on page 12, right column, going on to the left column. The Ravid first critiques the Rambam. He says that it's methodologically inappropriate to ask a question that you're unable to answer. Why? Because it will lead to sphakos. So, Rambam, since you basically acknowledge that you can't answer the question, then you shouldn't raise the question. The Rambam might disagree with that methodological point, or he might say that mistama people have thought of this question. It's not like I'm the first person to be ma'orer the shayla. Be that as it may, he continues. The second paragraph. V'af al pi, she'en tshuva nitzachas al zeh, Tov hu lismoch lo ktsas tshuva. So even though I'm not going to give a definitive answer, let me give a partial answer. V'omer, im ayu tzidkas adam v'rish ato tluyim b'gzer sabor v'yisporach, hayinu omrim, shiyidiyaso higzeraso, v'haysa lanu hash'ela kasha ma'od. If God's foreknowledge was actually a gzera, so then the problem would indeed be problematic. V'achshav, sh'aborei hesir zu ha'memshala miyado, u'masra biyad ha'adam atzmo. God took away that power by granting man free will. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mir shamayim means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed human beings to choose. He removed that power from himself. Hesir zu ha'memshala miyado. And it was moser et la'adam. So then, ein yediyas el gzeira, aval hi ki yediyas ha'tzdagninim shiyodim mikoach acher ma yihiyu derachav. They know, just like astrologers know by other means what a person will choose, what will be the path of a person, shelzeh, v'adavar yadua shekol mikri adam katam gadol masura barei ha'korach bikoach amazalos, ela shenasan, so God put... Later in the year, we're going to talk about what mazel is. But leaving that issue aside for now, the Ravid assumes that God gave koach to mazalos. However, ela, shenasan bo ha-seichel Lios machziko lasteis mitachas hamazel. Who? Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the intellect to allow him to go out of the mazel. One way of thinking of this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps gave human beings a particular predilection, a natural path that they will choose naturally. That is the mazel. However, he also gave a person to the power to go out of his mazel and choose freely otherwise. V'hu ha-koach ha-nasun ba-adam lios tov ora. And that is the basis of free will. V'abori yodech koach ha-mazel u-rigaav im yesh koach pesecha lehotzio leze miyado. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the person's natural predilection. And he also knows whether a person has the ability to go outside of his mazel and overcome that natural predilection. Imlo, or not. V'zu ha-yedia in egzera. And thus, this knowledge is not egzera. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the choices we will make, and he knows our natural predilection, and he knows whether we have the ability to overcome that natural predilection, but he doesn't actually know the choice. But then he concludes, V'chol ze einenu shav. The Shlach takes this approach as well. It's on page, starting on page 20 and going on to page 21 and 22. The Iker paragraph, if you're going to read one, is the left column on page 21, where basically he says, Emes sheba'avur ze eina muchrachin, ki mi sheyirtze lehagbir velelech mizeh ha-hispashtus v'yirtze liftoach mekor acher, me'amiko ros, v'yamshich kefi ritzono, az koach ha-bechira biyado lehagbir. Rak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu heri la'adam lefi psichas ha-mekor shel ata, eich ru'uya liyos ha-hispashtus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the natural paths that we're going to choose according to our current state. However, we have the power to choose differently. V'nishtanu mikoach ha-bechira, v'harbe devarim nisharim kefi ma shehayu re'uyin. There are paths that God knows, but not our particular path. Ayin Sham, it's a beautiful piece where he goes to a number of Mamari Chazal. We don't have time to do the approach of the Ramchal. That's on page 22, 23. It's very interesting as well. I'd like now to choose to close in our remaining time with Reb Tzadok. I gave you a number of passages from Reb Tzadok, and there are many more where he describes this question. I think we're only going to have time to do one passage today. A passage from Tzidkas HaTzadik Osmem, which starts on page 23. Who was Reb Tzadok HaKohen Rabinowitz of Lublin? He lived from 1823 to 1900. He is one of the most influential thinkers in the realm that now people like to call Machshava. He had major influences on thinkers like Rav Kook, Rav Dessler, Rav Huttner, Rav Gedalia Shor, Rav Moshe Shapiro, and the like. If you study these later thinkers' works, you'll see time and time again the very powerful influence of Reb Tzadok. They don't usually quote him. There are some seemingly questionable things that Reb Tzadok says. This perhaps may be one of them. Reb Tzadok was initially raised in a more Litvisha background by his uncle, though his father, who died when he was very young, did actually have a positive approach towards Hasidus. There's a lot of fascinating things about his biography, about his trips throughout to all the Gedolim in Europe to get a Hatar Meirabanim, and in that he met all sorts of people. Very, very interesting biography, but we really don't have time to go into it now. Very briefly, his primary Rebbe was the Ishbitzer, Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner. After the Ishbitzer's death in 1854, he became a Talmud of Rav Leibel Eger, the famous grandson of Rav Akiva Eger, the Chassid. After Rav Leibel's death in 1888, his Talmidim pushed him to become a Rebbe. Until then, for over 30 years, he was a very private person, living a life of seclusion and piety. But for the end of his life, he did become a Rebbe. He didn't publish anything during his lifetime, but wrote prolifically. And there are a half dozen major works that have been published. The Tzidkas HaTzadik, which is we're going to see now, is one of them. Resisei HaLaila, Dover Tzedek, Likutei Ma'amarim, Takanas HaShavim, Yisrael Kedoshim, Pakad HaKarim, Pri Tzadik on the Parsha, which are from his Shmuzin. And there are many that were destroyed in the Holocaust that we don't even have. Okay, so let's start with this Tzidkas HaTzadik. Os Mem. Iker HaTshuva, who? Ad sheyayir Hashem einav, sheyuz donos kizchuyos. The Iker Tshuva is, meaning to say, Reb Tzadok is dealing with the idea that you see in the Gemara Yoma that there are different levels of tshuva. Tshuva Meira, for example, versus Tshuva Me'ava. In Tshuva Meira, there's Mechila. In Tshuva Me'ava, Zdonos Nasos Schuyos. What does that mean? And why is it that Zdonos Nasos Schuyos? Says Reb Tzadok that the Iker Tshuva is when you realize that even the Averos that you have done are Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Lomar Sheyakir V'Yavin Shekol Mashachata Hu Gam Kein Bertzon Hashem Yizborach. And thus, if you can incorporate and internalize that knowledge, then your zdonos will be zchuyos, because just like mitzvos are ratzon Hashem, so too averos are ratzon Hashem. You could certainly understand why there are those would find this idea objectionable. But let's read on. Kemo she'amru zal, shlosha psukim v'chulei v'ata hasibos es libam v'asher Herosi v'chule. Here he's referring to a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, "Amar b'Lazer." It's in a footnote to 63. Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klape ma'ala. Shenamar v'atah sibosa es libam achoranis. Eliyahu Anavi said to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Sorry, that you were the ones. You Hakadosh Baruch Hu were the one that caused them to sin. It's your fault." And moreover, there are many psukim, the Gemara quotes, to this effect. The pasuk says that hinei kechomer biyad hayotzer, that we are like chomer biyad hayotzer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls us. The pasuk in Yechezkel says v'heisarti es lev ha'evan mibsarchem v'nasati lachem lev basar. And so on and so forth. There are many psukim that indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls us, that we sinned because HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused us to sin. Right? Ata hasibos alibam achoranis. So how do you deal with these psukim? So the Rambam deals with all these psukim in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tshuva, and he says, essentially, yes, these psukim do indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes limits a person's free will and causes them to make particular choices. The famous example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardening Paro's heart is one such example. So, there are times in which freedom is limited. That's the approach that the Rambam takes. Others say, no, these psukim don't really mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes a person to sin. Reb Tzadok is taking the Gemara and the psukim literally. Yes, there are times at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he doesn't just say it, there are times, like the Rambam, but perhaps like the simple reading of the Gemara in Brachos, that this is always the case. Uketam yediya ubechira shebir harizal. Okay, this is the yesod of his answer, based on a statement that the Arizal makes in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef. This is a famous statement by the Ari. The Nefesh HaChaim quotes it and explains it as well. What's the Ari's answer? What is the solution between yediya and bechira? He writes, Shishneim emes, they're both true. Sounds like the Rambam, but not exactly. Shishneim emes kol echad b'makom b'fnei atzmo. B'mokom ha-bechira, sham ein makom liyedia. U'v'makom ha-yedia, sham b'emes ein makom le-bechira. From the perspective of yedia, there's no bechira. From the perspective of bechira, there's no yedia. What does that mean? First glance, it's saying that if, for example, we'll have to take a step back. This is a bad thing to start with, 3 minutes left. We're going to briefly introduce this idea, and we're going to, Be'ezras Hashem, finish it next week. And it's not so bad to leave us hanging because we're not going to understand this anyway. Ein lanu esek b'nistaros. And I'm not sure, I can't tell you that this is what Reb Tzadok is saying, because he doesn't say it. He just says this quote. But what I think he means is as follows. In the world of Kabbalah, there are different olamos, specifically the olam Hatzilos Bria Yetzira Nasiya, known by the Rashi Tevos of Abia. If you want an introduction to this, you can look at Sefer Nefesh HaChayim. The worlds go in descending order of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Olam Atzilos, the word Atzilos means, is generally translated in English as emanation. Like the Pasuk says, Vayered Hashem Ba'anan, Vayeyatzel Min HaRuach HaSher Alav, right? The world of Atzilos does not reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's true essence, but it's closer to the Ein Sof in the following sense. In the lower olamos, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, there are all sorts of things that exist in the world that seem to contradict the existence and the oneness and the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We look, for example, in our world on a very basic level, and we see that there are times that evil triumphs over good. There is the existence of free will, in which a person could seemingly choose to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. There is kochos hatuma and shadim and the like. So in these lower olamos, there are things that seem to contradict HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And these things are necessary so as to allow for Bechira Chafshis. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we could perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence fully, first of all, that's impossible. But even if it were possible, then we would have no freedom. Freedom only can exist because we see two reasonable possibilities. In the Olam Atzilus, so this exists much less. Now, from the perspective of, let's say, the Olamos of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, there is freedom. And freedom exists, and it truly exists. We can choose, and it is our experience to choose. I could choose whether I'm going to do what's right or whether I'm going to do what's wrong. That's a feeling that I experience, and it's not just an illusion. It's true from the perspective of our existence. So we do, in fact, have free will. And Reb Tzadok stresses again and again in many of his writings the true nature of our freedom. However, from a different perspective, that's what he means when he says, "B'makom ha-bechira leka yediyah." From our perspective on art in this world, there is indeed bechira, and therefore there isn't yediyah, because bechira contradicts yediyah, at least from our perspective. From b'makom ha-yediya leka b'chira, in the upper olamos, the olam ha-atzilos, let's say, there is yediya, and therefore there isn't b'chira. Let me give you an example. The famous Gemara in Sanhedrin about kishuf. It says, what does kishuf mean? Kishuf is from the word, because they're mechashvin pamalya shalmala, that a person can use kishuf to contradict, to thwart the ratzon Hashem. So the Gemara tells us that there was a fellow, Rabbi Hanina, and Rabbi Hanina wasn't worried about Mechashvin. And the Gemara says, what are you doing? Ein tzom chanal anes. Is it because of Nafish Zechuse? He's so great? And the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Hanina understood, ein od milvado afilu kshafim. Ein od milvado. In reality, there is nothing that exists besides the Rebono Shel Olam. Therefore, kishuf has no power over me, Because in a world in which a person truly internalizes that there is no power besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Kishuf can have no power. For anyone else who hasn't internalized that idea, Kishuf can hurt them, and to not take precautions, the Gemara says, is Begeder Ein Somchen Al Hanes. If you can internalize that, Ein On Milvado, then Kishuf can have no power. If a person truly realizes that everything is Ratzon Hashem, the perspective of Yedia, the perspective of the Olam Atzilos, so then it's absolutely true that your Zdonos Nasos Zchuyos, because even your Zchuyos are Ratzon Hashem. And that's what he's saying. If a person can come to that realization, that's Tshuva Me'ava and Zdonos Nasos Zchuyos. Bezras Hashem, next week, we will try to explain this a little more fully. Right now, you all have a breakfast in the Sky Calf with Rabbi Penner. Please go there promptly, because I don't want to get in trouble. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos, and I'll see you soon.